Then, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our president and first lady. Father, we thank you for your healing over them. We thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against them shall be condemned. This is their heritage as servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of the Lord. Father, we thank you that you cause their enemies that rise up against them to be defeated before their face. They come out against them one way and flee before them seven ways. Father, we bind every evil spirit that is attacking them in the name of Jesus. We command them to cease and desist in their operations against them in this country. We come against them. Father, we thank you for your angels that surround them, causing them to be victorious in the face of the very pit of hell. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Do we have any more prayer requests? Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? Well, Paul told us to rightfully discern the body of Christ. He told us to discern the body of Christ. Said there's only one. He only gave one reason for Christians to be sickly and die early among us, and that's because they didn't discern the body of Christ. So when we look at this bread, we can see Jesus in this. This bread is made exactly the way God told us to make it. This is called matzah bread. And it's made without yeast. Yeast is significant as sin in the Bible. And Jesus' body was certainly without sin. He never sinned, ever. Also, this bread, if you'll notice, it's been beaten flat. Jesus was beaten for us. He was bruised for us. He was wounded for us. And in this bread, there's stripes. And it's by his stripes we were healed. This bread has been pierced. Jesus was certainly pierced when he was on the cross. A Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side, but he shed his blood all over the place. He took holes in his head when he got a crown of thorns. He got holes in his hands and he got holes in his feet. Everywhere he shed his blood caused us to have redemption in some area. Also, this bread is slightly burned. And when Jesus was on his cross, God laid the full wrath of his fiery judgment on Jesus. The wrath that was meant for us, Jesus took it all so that we could take his place in the family. Amen. Now we're children of God. Jesus, your body was broken for us. We're taking this for our well-being. We're taking this for our healing and our wholeness. We thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for giving us the matzah bread. It tastes so much better than those little white wafers people push off on us. His blood was shed all over the place, not only for the remission of our sins, but we get protection and deliverance from his blood. And the New Testament promises are sealed with his blood. And because of his blood, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive help in our time of need. We thank you for it. I don't know what we're going to do. Miss Connie's not here. I guess you're just going to have to sit there and be still. No wiggling. You know better than that, huh? All right. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given into us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you that as we take your word into our hearts, it takes root. Your seed takes root in our hearts and it produces fruit in your kingdom. Some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold return on your word. And it's always your word. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now that was Jesus. He found himself in the Bible. He opened up the scrolls and he found himself in the Bible. And that's the same thing you do. You want to know who you are? Open the Bible. You want to know what God's will for your life is? Open the Bible. And read it. That's his will for your life. The world has gotten confused about this. That's his will for your life. The Bible, the New Testament. Amen? That's where we find ourselves. One time I was sitting in the coffee shop. I wasn't born again or nothing, but I was sitting in the coffee shop. And there was a couple that had been married for a long, long time. And all of a sudden, his wife left. And these people were talking about it and they said, yeah, she needed to go find herself. And I thought, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know anything about nothing, but I thought that was crazy. You want to find yourself? Open the Bible. Amen. That'll stop the confusion. But Jesus said that after he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're supposed to be Christians. That's what we are called as Christians. But when a man gets born again, he begets made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The same way Jesus was on this earth. He was righteousness of God. He was in right standing with God. And then he went and got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the same thing we can do. Once we get born again, we can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then we can go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. But it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, that we do these things. And you're not... When you get the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are able to do the things that God tells you to do. Remember last Sunday we talked about Gideon, and we went back there and we read through his life and found out here's this guy that was hiding behind the wine press threshing wheat because the Midianites were in there plundering the land. They were eating all their crops, eating all their food. They had taken over. And Gideon had his own self-assertion that he said that he was the least of his father, who was the least of their tribe in their village, said, I'm poor. I'm just, there's not much to me. But this angel said, you're a mighty man of valor. And then God told him to sound the trumpet and get everybody gathered up. Said, we're going to whip the Midianites. Well, Gideon was feeling pretty good when 30,000 people showed up. And God said, that's too many. I want you to narrow it down. So he narrowed it down to 10,000 people. Well, that's not as good as 30,000. But 10,000, there's still safety in numbers. 10,000 is okay. And God said, now I want you to send everybody down to the river. And anybody that laps water up like a dog, I want you to send him down the road. I can only imagine how Gideon's heart must have sank when he seen all but 300 of them lapping water like a dog. I hear him standing on a rock, say, "Come on, guys, stand up. Pick up your game a little bit. Let's go." They narrowed it down to 300. And they set the land free. "It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord." That's what we've got to understand. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your own talent. Stop looking at your own pocketbook. Stop looking at what you can do and look at what He can do. Amen? When we get our eyes on Him, that's when we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Sometimes you'll have to forget what you learned in school. You'll have to forget what your friends said. You know, you're from the wrong side of the tracks. You don't have enough money. You don't have this education. You don't have this. You don't have that. You may have to forget what your own mama said. Amen? Sometimes moms say the horriblest things. You're going to be just like your dad. You're going to have to find yourself in the Bible and let Him qualify you. He qualifies us. Amen. I've noticed He doesn't really call the qualified. He qualifies the called. There's not one example given in the Bible of anybody who remained powerless to do what God called him to do after that the Spirit came upon him or her. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are able to go about and do what God has asked you to do. I've talked to missionaries before, and they always come back, and I can locate them immediately. When they come back and they tell me the mission field was awesome, we had a blast, it was good, I know I'm talking to an anointed Christian. I know I'm talking to a Spirit-filled believer, one that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were out there having fun. They were doing things. Things were getting done. They were having a good time. The mission field was an adventure. They come back and start telling me how hard it is, how challenging it is, and start talking about all the hard stuff. Then I know I'm not talking to somebody who's experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He said, "You are anointed." In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, He said, "You are anointed." When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are anointed. Number one, to preach the gospel to the poor, the destitute, the needy. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. I want to show you an example here of what happened when Jesus come down. And Jesus, well, let me go first of all here to verse 18. Go to chapter 4, verse 18. "Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And that's what happened after Jesus got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He got led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he went through 40 days of tempting. You know, he fasted and went through all that temptation, and the devil tempted him in all ways. And he came back victorious, and his ministry started. Now, pay close attention here. Don't break the Bible up in segments. Because what happens, if we went through that little part from verse 18 down to here, and then you notice it says chapter 5. Did you notice that? But it's still the same time. He just come walking down through there, called the guys, and then look what happened. It didn't start a new story. It didn't wait a week and start a new thing. It's the same deal. He's still breathing the same air in the same place and seeing the multitudes. He went up into a mountain, and when he sat, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, and so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." See, he went through the Beatitudes, but he wasn't in a mournful voice. He said, "Good news, guys. The Anointed One is here. You've been believing for the Messiah for a long, long time. They've been looking for the Messiah," and he said, "I'm here. You're blessed now. Poor, you don't have to be poor no more. Brokenhearted, you don't have to be brokenhearted no more. You've been wanting to be in right standing with God for a long time. I'm the way." Now do you see what the Beatitudes were about? He was describing himself, said, "Look, guys, it's here. We're going to get to the year of Jubilee here in a little bit. Jesus is our Jubilee. I want you to see this. He is our atonement. Jesus is our everything." The next thing he said about this anointing is deliverance to captives in sin, sickness, and death. You know, there is a lot of people that are being held captives. Sometimes they're being held captives by the education that they've gotten from kids. You know, sometimes, in the name of religion, some people go through some horrendous things. Some terrible things. You know, I met a guy one time. His dad beat him unmercifully because he asked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that wasn't going to happen. He jerked him out of school, said, "You're going to hell, boy." And he homeschooled him till he graduated. He didn't get to go to school no more. He got homeschooled. I was riding with him. And I thought, man, that's tough. And then he looked at me and said, "I'm married to the devil." So, man, I picked a heck of a day to break down, didn't I? And he was talking, and in the middle of a sentence, he just looked up and said, "There's the devil's church." It was a great big Pentecostal church. I thought, oh boy, this Southern Baptist boy married him a Pentecostal girl. I said, "Just calm down." He said, "Did you crash into the Holy Spirit?" "No, I crashed into the pew. They pushed me so hard I cut my shoulder." See, now there was abuse of belief systems on both ends of this guy's life there. And none of it was based on the gospel, on man's feelings and man's doctrine. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Sometimes people are held captive. There's a whole slew of things that hold people. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be religion. Did you know that religion is the strongest narcotic known to mankind? It'll make a man think he's okay while he's got one foot in the pit of hell and one foot in church. There's people that swear they're okay because their pastor said they're okay. But they don't believe in getting born again. You're not okay if you're not born again. You're just not. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 tells how God anointed Jesus. Now, circle this next word. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Not Jesus of heaven. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He's identifying with mankind so that we can identify with him. John 14:12 says that we could do the same things that Jesus did. Jesus said that. He said that. And this is how. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's a man. Did you know Jesus was a man? I preached for 9 months in a church one time. Identifying with Jesus. Getting people to identify with Jesus. He identified with us. We need to identify with him. I went through 9 months of this stuff. And at one of the last sermons I preached, I said, and Jesus did these miracles, and you can too. And some old lady said, "But he was God." 9 months of Word of Faith preaching could not, it didn't soak in through 50 years of indoctrination of man's religion. See why it's so important to pay attention, take heed what you hear. You hear it long enough, you won't believe the truth. But this is important for you to know, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, God's with you. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus gave you his name, said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." There's people saying, well, Jesus didn't heal everybody. No, sometimes he cast the devil out of somebody. Sometimes you need to do that. I witnessed to a guy one time. I said, you need to get born again. He said, I know. I said, well, if you already know, then why didn't you? He said, every time I go to say that prayer, my tongue stops and I can't say nothing. I said, really? And he said, yeah, I want to get born again. But I start to pray and I can't say the words. I said, well, would you give me permission to cast the devil out of you? And his eyes got a little bigger. And I said, take authority over Satan so you can get born again? He said, sure. So we did that, cast the devil out of him. And he got born again. And he said, wow, that's cool. And I said, God ain't done with you. So what do you mean? Well, he said he wants you to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is at work, folks. This is not in church. It's not in a special room. This is at work. A dirty old house that had been burned. And he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he got giggly. So I took him into the room and set him on a bucket and leaned him up against the wall and went back to work. My boss come to work and he come in there and he seen this guy giggling, laughing, and couldn't talk. And so he come down and he said, then he looked at me and he said, oh, he knew what happened. The guy got born again. He got set free. Not because of any special talent that I had. Not because I went to Bible school. Not because I knew the Bible. But because the Holy Spirit was upon me. And that guy got delivered. And he got born again. And he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did you know you can do that? You can do that. You know, you can dunk them. You can bring them back. They could be a turnkey Christian by the time they get to church. All they need is just fed the word. Amen. Each and every single one of you can do that. Did you know that you don't have to have a special ordination card to baptize somebody? You don't have to have that. That's man's ideas. Jesus has already ordained you to these good works. You don't have to ask anybody's permission to do it. And you just do it. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. He loaded you up. When you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got loaded up. You may not know it, but you got a pack of dynamite on the inside of you. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need to make that a goal. Amen? He gave everybody these gifts. You know, some people get taught. This is a stronghold in some people's mind. That you can only operate in one or two gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's not doctrinally sound. Because always go back to John 14 verse 12. Jesus said, you can do the same things I did. Even greater things. Did Jesus operate in one or two gifts of the Holy Spirit? He hit them all. Amen. He hit them all. So you've got that on the inside of you. Amen. Well, why don't they ever happen? Well, do you ever just submit? (Laughs) I know for the people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you had an unction on the inside of you at some point in time to say something to somebody. You may not have even known this person. You just had an unction. Maybe it was a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And you thought, that's just me. I'm going to just leave it alone. Don't do that. If you have a message for somebody, ask God, say, is this something that I'm supposed to pray about? Or is this something I'm supposed to deliver to this person? Amen? There's even some of you that have had an unction on the inside of you that you needed to stand up in church and say something in tongues. Yeah. Oh, that's just goofy. I'm not going to do that. Don't do that. I'm not one of those pastors that's going to throw a Bible at you if you stand up and give a message in tongues. But we'll do it all in order. God is a God of order, not chaos. If you have a message, use a little hand. And we'll do that. But don't come at me with some nonsense wannabe prophecy. Because that ain't going to work. We're going to judge it by the Word of God. Amen? Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to fear. I know that each one of you have ran into somebody at some point in time that was overtaken with fear. That's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. And everybody has to deal with that at some point. You have to tell that thing to leave. Be gone in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So you tell that spirit of fear to get. But you see, there's people that don't know how to defend themselves. There's people running around that have been held bondage to fear all their life. There's people running around that have been held bondage to unsound doctrine all their life. You know, there's people running around that have demons on the inside of them. Do you know that there's even Christians running around that have demons? They're not possessed. They're not possessed because that's full ownership. God owns them. But they still have demons attached to them. Sometimes they need to be set free. The captives need to be set free. They need to get free in their own mind. Sometimes they have some bondage in their soul that haunted them for years. You know, I ran into people that won't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it wasn't what Mama believed in. It wasn't what Dad believed in. So they just left it alone. I ran into people that did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit but wouldn't operate in it because it's not what their denomination believed in. So they didn't want to be exposed. One time I was witnessing to a guy and I said, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, yes. I laid my hand on his chest and I started praying with him and he started praying in tongues. And I said, stop, 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 stop. You already got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What's wrong with you? He was a friend of mine. He said, well, I go to a Baptist church. I said, well, it's okay. You can still go to a Baptist church and have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, he was afraid what somebody might think of him. He was afraid what somebody might say about him. Don't be afraid of people. Stand on the Word of God. Believe me, I preached for 9 months in a Southern Baptist church. I preached about the baptism of the Holy Spirit a lot. Not even the area head of missions and the regional head of pastors would deal with me. It's just boogie on out the door, but the people were hungry enough to stay there and listen to it. Amen? And they were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was pretty cool. Stand on the Word of God. Always remember this, you know, the light will not be overtaken by the darkness. You know, it says that the darkness comprehended it not. That's what it means. The darkness could not overtake the light. Darkness could not overtake the light. Now let's go on to the next thing. The acceptable year of the Lord. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You've been anointed to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 25, you don't have to go there, but it tells us that they had these years divided into 7 years, and then you'd take 7 years times seven, that'd be 49. Then that 50th year was the Jubilee year, year of Jubilee. And literally, they have the Feast of Atonement. And what happened in that feast was everybody got set free. Everybody that was captive got set free. If you got sold into slavery, you got set free. If you got into debt and you were in trouble and you had to work your debt off for somebody, you got set free from that. If you lost a house or if you lost a farm, you got that farm back. Things got a brand new beginning, a new start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. I mean, you started off with a new slate. The day you got born again, you got started off with a new slate. Don't fall into these hokey prophecies where this year is a special year for finances. This year is a special year for healing. This year is a special year for this. This year is a special year for that. That's bull. This year is a special year for everything. And in fact, the day you got born again, the rest of your life is a life of jubilee from Jesus. He is your atonement. Amen? And you are in Him. The acceptable year of the Lord, or period, is typified by the year of Jubilee when liberty was proclaimed to all people on the Day of Atonement. Does any of that sound familiar? Sounds kind of American. Let liberty proclaim liberty to all the land and the people thereof. That sounds something like the Liberty Bell. No, America sounds something like the Bible. Let freedom ring. Amen. When the atonement of Christ is fully embraced, the sick, the sinful, the helpless, the needy are restored. They're restored health, holiness, power, prosperity, and full dominion over Satan, and membership and communion in God's family. see why it's important now to preach salvation. Not born again. We got a lot of people that focus on born again, but they don't preach it on salvation. I know it's important to get born again, but it's important to get healed. It's important to get delivered. It's important to get prospered. It's important to be protected. It's important to be taken care of. That's the gospel. That is the full gospel. When you preach salvation, the only way to truly preach salvation is to preach the gospel, and that's got to be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And because of His blood, you qualify for absolutely everything that the Bible says you qualify for. Amen? What is everything you qualify for? God has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. Men put limitations on God. But God doesn't put any limitations on you. He said, go to the table. The Lord prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That's here and now. You go to that table. What do you suppose God has on His table? Absolutely every single thing you need and want in life. Amen? You know, as long as your wants are not something disastrous, something perverted, something wrong, something that goes against the Bible. I know there's some religious people that twist that all up. You can have godly wants. Well, what if I just want a car? Well, that's cool. Tell God just exactly what kind of car you want, what color you want. Well, what if I just want a wife? Tell God just exactly what color of hair you want her to have. How tall you want her to be. Amen. Well, God has freely given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Does a car pertain unto life? Yes. Does a wife pertain unto life? Yes. Sometimes people get this mixed up. For those of you that have kids, when your little kid come up, well, Kimberly, for example, when your little kid come up and ask you for a bicycle, did you say, why do you need a bicycle? What good would that do you? I just want a bicycle so I can go ride around. You didn't quiz them. You said, yeah, I want you to have a bike. Matter of fact, you wanted them to have a bike before they knew they wanted a bike. That's how God is. He wants you to have the best in life before you even know you want it. Well, what do you got to do to receive it? Get your little religious butt out of the way. Look to the cross. And receive it. Say, thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know that's how you receive the promises? Thank you, Father, for the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, and I through His poverty have been made rich. Thank you, Father, that by His stripes I was healed. You're not asking Him for something that you've already received. He's already given it to you. You just got to receive it. How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Father, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I receive this fully. I ask that the Holy Spirit come upon me. In Jesus' name, anoint me with power so I can go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Take the religion out of the way. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you for what your word says in the Bible about us. We thank you for it. We believe it and we receive it. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is here to teach us how to operate in these things. He'll show us how to get the revelation of it that we need so that we can receive it, we can walk in it, we can live in it, and we can enjoy the fruits of it. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us on his cross and his death, his burial, his resurrection. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and cookies and cake back here and fellowship. And everybody's welcome to come on back.